Hello.
Hola.
And welcome to Resync, an Assassin's Creed podcast. I'm your host, Landon, joined, as always, by my lovely co-host, Lucas.
That's me.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good. Pretty good.
I am happy to hear it. It is the season finale! Woo-woo-woo-woo-woo!
A whole season.
I'm popping off all the confetti. It's it. We've made it to the end of Assassin's Creed, the very first game, the one that started it all, Ubisoft's crowning achievement. It's over. This is it. It's the final showdown. Altair, Al-Mualim, head-to-head, pow-pow-pow. Papa Al is going down. So, before we get into things, there is some stuff I wanted to talk about real quick, which is the elephant in the room. The thing that got announced right before the episode dropped, Assassin's Creed Shadows has officially been delayed to February 14th, 2025.
Because Ghost of Yeti was announced.
Because Ghost of Yeti, which is crazy because I understand, like, because here's the thing, a rushed game is forever bad, a delayed game is eventually good. But now it is in direct competition with Ghost of Yote, and it is probably not going to end well for them.
No.
Because hey, I think Ubisoft. I have hope for Ubisoft, but not that much hope. And so yeah, it's going to be a rough one. And the CEO has already done some damage control on that, and has said that he has been quoted saying that two Japanese open world games can coexist and have different ideas and different takes, which I agree with the sentiment, but I also think that one's going to be clearly better than the other. Maybe, yeah. I don't know, like I said, I think Ubisoft's been cooking with some more sauce lately. I will defend them. I think Star Wars Outlaws is a 7 out of 10. It is good. It has good concepts. They have good stuff going on there. And Prince of Persia: The Lost Crown is a magnificent game.
I'll play that eventually.
So, you know, here's the thing. Ubisoft is slowly cooking. They've got a tiny little fire going, and I'm just watching it grow. So I have some hope for this game, but I
have little hope. But you know, if it's good, heck yeah.
Here's the thing, listeners. I know a lot of you guys are very accepting of the Assassin's Creed RPGs, such as Origins, Odyssey, Valhalla. Lucas is not, because he is a little bitch. And
they're just not as good.
Just doesn't understand that although they are not peak like Assassin's Creed 2, Black Flag, etc., Brotherhood would be another good example, they are still solid, like 8 or 9 out of 10 games.
6 or 7s.
Brothers barely played any of them. And so he has no right to speak on this.
I tried to be Odyssey, but after 20 hours, I was like, this game is too long.
We are gonna get... Okay. So, when we get to them, you're gonna be a changed man. So, just so you know. You idiot. Yeah, this is a contentious topic, but... I understand, fans. If you want to... just shit on him in the comments and
we're
wherever.
We're going to have a poll one of these days, and you're going to realize you're in the minority. But right
I am not in the minority. Okay. Again, 2, Brotherhood, Black Flag, peak, cannot be topped. However, other games, still phenomenal. Anyway. Assassin's Creed Shadows has been delayed to Valentine's Day. That is so rude.
That is a weird day.
That is so rude. Why would you do that, Ubisoft? Please push it back into... Okay, here's
the thing. Angry women everywhere.
I realistically think this could get pushed back into March simply because there's so much coming out in February. There is the new Yakuza pirate game that just got announced. Civilization 7. I know there's another big release that is evading me. But February is a very... Oh, Monster Hunter Wilds comes out in February. There's a lot of very anticipated games coming out in that month, and they just jumped into that. So, I don't know. I think it's a risky move, and I think that they really need this to work. It comes out 4 days before Avowed, which is Obsidian Skyrim.
That
so
looks pretty good.
People are going to be playing that game. Kingdom Come Deliverance 2 comes out 3 days before it, which is a very anticipated game. That month is just jam-packed with games. And so, yeah, it was a weird choice to put it there. And on Valentine's Day, like, what are you doing? Meanwhile, March is basically empty outside of the Tales of the Shire game, which I like Lord of the Rings, but that game looks like shit. Sorry. And that's about it. Just some, like, JRPGs and stuff. There's plenty of space for it to go in March, and I think that's what's going to happen, to be honest with you. If they were smart, I hope to God they don't try to pull, because I think Ubisoft has had a pretty big problem for a while, and I think they're starting to get better at it, which is why I have faith, a little bit of faith this time. They have fallen into the trap of a bit of an inflated ego a lot, where they think that they don't have to worry about competition because of how big they are as a brand, which I think at one point was true,
yeah,
but has not been true for quite some time. And they still think they can rely on that, and then they don't, and their games fail. And so hopefully now they do better, which, I mean, in their statement, I honestly should just read the whole statement, but they literally said, "Dear players, Assassin's Creed Shadows is a dream project for us, finally bringing the series to feudal Japan with many features developed with our community in mind, such as parkour or the renewed stealth, brought by new technology, all set in a beautiful and immersive world. This is an ambitious addition to the franchise, a rich experience that can be lived through the eyes of two unique protagonists. But we realize we need more time to polish and refine the experience, pushing further some of our key features. As such, we've made the decision to postpone the release date to February 14th, 2025. The game will release on a broad range of platforms, including Steam, at launch. Additionally, pre-orders will be refunded, and all future pre-orders will be granted the first expansion for free. We understand this decision will come as disappointing news, especially to those who've been waiting patiently for an Assassin's Creed game inspired by feudal Japan. But we sincerely believe this is in the best interest of the game and ultimately your experience as a player. Rest assured, we are looking forward to the moment you will embark on a memorable adventure with Nawe and Yasuke. Until then, we thank you for your ongoing support. Mark Alexis Cote, on behalf of all teams working on Assassin's Creed Shadows." And they also posted a press release where they said, "Following a meeting of its board directors, Ubisoft updates its financial targets for fiscal year 2024 to 2025. The company now expects net bookings of around 1.95 billion euros and around break-even non-IFRS operating income and free cash flow. The company now targets fiscal year 2024 net bookings for the second quarter of fiscal year 2024 to stand at around 350 to 370 million euros. The revised targets are mainly a reflection of decisions taken for Assassin's Creed Shadows and the softer-than-expected launch for Star Wars Outlaws. Listening to players' feedback, and as an illustration of our player-centric approach, the following important decisions relative to Assassin's Creed Shadows have been taken. Assassin's Creed Shadows will now be released on the 14th of February, 2025. While the game is feature-complete, the learnings from the Star Wars Outlaws release led us to provide additional time to further polish the title, which is great fucking news, which means it's hopefully going to be a lot more optimized, a lot less buggy. This will enable the biggest entry in the franchise to fully deliver on its ambition, notably by fulfilling the promise of our dual protagonist adventure with Nawe and Yasuke bringing two very different gameplay styles. We are departing from the traditional season pass model. All players who will be able to enjoy the game at the same time on February 14th, and those who pre-order the game will be granted the first expansion for free. The game will mark the return of our new releases on Steam day one." So, the press release was all good news. I think the statement that they released in the official Assassin's Creed, like, socials was fine, whatever. Again, just fairly neutral about it. But the press release and the stuff they were really trying to talk to investors about, that's what I'm excited about, because if that's true, it really does show that Ubisoft is like, okay, we're listening, we're going to give the fans what they want, essentially. And we're going to do better. And so hopefully we see the fruits of that in this, which I hope they then also just push it back to March, because February is way too crowded. Come on, guys.
Yeah.
Like, you guys need this. Don't put it in a crowded sector. Don't do that. That's dumb. Wait a little bit longer. Push it back one more month. Just saying. But anyway, long-winded rant aside, still very excited for Assassin's Creed Shadows, but we got plenty of Assassin's Creed to play in the meantime. Ain't that right, peoples?
So
let's get into it right after we do the trivia question for this week. Because last week I asked you guys...
You don't remember?
How many total flags were there? And I said that it's a number that Lucas and I know very well. And that number is 420, my friends. So, 420 flags.
Yes.
In the game total. And I could only get 418 because two of them glitched out. Ubisoft, I want my trophies. I will not let that go. So anyway, this week's trivia question. So as we're done with Assassin's Creed 1, and we've got 3 weeks until we come back with Assassin's Creed 2, because we're going to have two bonus episodes for the next couple weeks in the meantime, which we will get into in a little bit. But I was thinking about it, and I was like, man, I really want to scratch this itch of a stealth action adventure game. So I actually looked up every game release within those 2 years of any stealth action adventure games. Well, you know, you'd think it would be a very popular subgenre, right? There are four within that 2 year time span, and all of them, none of them are playable on modern consoles. They're all lost.
Dang.
The first being Altair's Chronicles, the Assassin's Creed spinoff on the Nintendo DS, Tenchu Shadow Assassins, which is a Wii game that then came to PSP, and The Chronicles of Riddick, Assault on Dark Athena, which is on 360 and PS3, and not backwards compatible in any way. My question for this week is, what is the other major stealth action adventure game that was released in between Assassin's Creed 1 and 2? Because there was a very major entry that I will say was lost on the PS3. It is stuck on that console. It is only playable there. There is no other way to play it as of this recording. What game is it? That's my trivia question for this week.
Tell us.
Best of luck to ya. Let's get into it. I got a joke real quick, and then we'll get into it. Because I forgot about this.
A joke. Okay.
So, friends, why can't you have sex after playing Assassin's Creed? Because Ubisoft. Ba-dunt. The second I heard that joke, Lucas.
He did.
And I told him. And I said, this is going on the podcast. And here we are.
Yeah, so. I forgot about that until he started talking. I was like, oh, yeah, that's right.
Yep.
Remember.
Ubisoft! So tell your friends. It's a funny joke. Shout out to the folks that used to be. Actually, I don't remember. I think it was Matt that gave that joke on Yamad. So he actually might still be there. It was a whole thing. A bunch of them left. It was, a big thing. But anyway, funny joke. But back in Masyaf, we get there at the beginning of this sequence, and the majority of the people are in the temple, and they are brainwashed by Al-Mualim, worshiping him like a god, saying that he has to see the way. And then you are essentially being assaulted by assassins. Al-Mualim sends the assassin order after you.
You have to kill so many assassins.
And they're not going down without a fight.
No. They're honestly probably some of the toughest enemies in the game.
Yeah. So that's a fun time. How'd you feel about this, bud?
I felt like a little rusty coming off. I got down to like 3 health bars at one point, and I was like, uh-oh. I was like, I gotta like lock in for a second. Yeah. I just kind of switched to counters, and I just was kind of getting annoyed of fighting the enemies all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a lot. The end of this game has a lot of just fight this group, fight this group, fight this group.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, again, you're an assassin.
Yeah.
This is an action adventure.
Where's the stealth
game? Not a lot of stealth here at the end. But you're fighting off assassins, and you're starting to get a little overwhelmed until Malik shows up with his little assassins, yeah, his free assassins.
Uses one arm to throw a knife.
Ding! He's a lethal boy still.
Still his blade arm.
Hell yeah, brother. And so he comes, saves the day, and then aids in the assault, helps distract the main forces so that Altair can get to Big Al.
Go fight that man.
And so you go through the temple into the courtyard where you face the man who immediately traps you as he is wielding the Piece of Eden.
Yeah.
And shit goes down. The final battle begins. He uses the illusions to bring back all of your targets and face you at the same time.
And they were bitches.
And so you just gotta counter. And then he clones himself and he starts going, and it's this just an insane battle where you're cutting through all the illusions like you're Spider-Man and Far From Home, so, and you're just all over the place.
How many illusions did you have to cut through? Or did you think like was there like an NPC that was him that you had to eventually hit, or
I'm not sure. It was like 3 or 4 for me.
That's what it was like for me too. So I wonder if it was like a counter, like
it could have been a counter, right? Yeah. I don't know. I'm not 100% positive. But it could be. And then he just starts teleporting all over the place while y'all are basically having the same conversations you've been having with the targets all game. Where it's like, I want power because I'm going to make the world a better place because they're going to do what I say.
And you're like, no.
And it's like, nuh-uh.
I'm going to kill you first.
And so, yeah, they just fight. And, you know, Almualim could easily just kill him. But then Altair literally gets him with, you won't, you pussy. And so, yeah, that's it. He's like,
the student's not supposed to beat the master.
And so. Like,
well, you did. You lost.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a pretty, I don't know. How do you feel about this fight, Lucas?
Honestly, it was pretty easy.
Yeah.
I felt like I had more trouble fighting the assassins in the front gate than I did with the Papa Owl fight.
So, I don't have too much of a problem with cinematic final boss battles. And I feel like at the time, given this is a 2007 game, I feel like this was very technologically cinematic for the time. And I think that was the design philosophy behind it.
It probably would have felt way more epic back in the day. But we just had so much more epic gaming experience.
Exactly. It's a sequence that hasn't really aged super well. But I can kind of see what they were going for, and I give it a little props for that. However, I think when games do that, I think they need the penultimate boss to kind of have that final boss feel. And they kind of did that. Again, it's just they do a lot of the throw groups of enemies at you.
Yeah.
And that's just annoying for me. Like, let me have, like, an actual complex battle sequence. That would be interesting for me.
Yeah, like, honestly, the most fun I had was that battle where you have to fight that one chick who is Robert, who's pretending to be Robert.
Yeah.
And there's, like, because you have to, like, run and actually kind of strategize, like, kill the archers first and then kill it. I mean, just a little bit of strategy based on just, like, fight this wave of enemy.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, but so there's like, there could be some improvements there, but overall, I still think it was, you know, I still enjoyed it. I think it was a solid, it was good. Could be better.
I had a good time for sure.
Yeah. And essentially, you know, he's explaining that like all of the stories from the Bible are just pieces of Eden. It's all like illusion shit. And that he is essentially saying, like, whoever controls the illusion controls everything. You know, everything. And so, after defeating him, Altair is being like, we gotta destroy this thing until a map shows up.
And what do you think the map shows?
It shows every piece of Eden in the world, assumedly. And it shows a bunch of locations for other pieces of Eden. And then you kind of hear these voices with Altair saying to destroy it and being told no and arguing back and forth and maybe being persuaded not to. Because Vidic does mention that this piece of Eden was in their possession. So they got a hold of it, which means it made it through that time and Altair did not destroy it. Now, it could just be that he doesn't know how, but could it be that he held on to it for some reason? We don't quite know, but he hesitates as Malik and the Free Assassins join him and also just kind of look on to it. And it is very, very interesting because it's recorded and the Templars now have what they need.
And it would also be whack. Like, I was thinking about it, like, for those guys, like, they're literally seeing this ball project, like, a holographic map of the world, and they're like, what the hell?
Right? Like, they're flat earthers at the time. And they're like, what's this ball, bro? Yeah. Be interesting. Interesting to think of how Altair and the Assassins comprehended that. Like, what is this magic? Mm-hmm. Why is he doing that? Type shit. God
damn it. I can't hear those words anymore.
Please, I have nothing.
God. Every time I saw those
Christian things, infidels!
I literally, like, I got so vengeful towards the end of this game. Like, every single NPC I saw that annoyed me, I would throw, I would tackle. I would just get so annoyed with them. I'd be like, I hate you, shut up.
Yep. It gets to be a little much. He is going to hurt himself. And I will not help him. So, yeah. Having what the Templars need, though, Vidic pulls Desmond from the Animus, deploying Templars all around the world to hunt down these pieces of Eden. They are a go. They are ready to mobilize and move the fuck out. This is what they've been waiting for this whole time. And literally right in front of Desmond is just like, yeah, okay, kill the kid. We don't need him anymore. And because they don't give a fuck, essentially. And so Lucy is like, whoa, 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 whoa. Hold
up. He might be useful.
Right? Like, there could be more to this. You know, we don't know if there's protection or, like, if there's any sort of security measures. You know, we might still need Desmond to help us leave nothing to chance is what you said. And so convinces them to leave him alive for now. And hopefully buy them some time to figure something out. But they leave Desmond to rest once more, and he finally uses Eagle Vision for the first time himself outside of the Animus to then see bloodstained markings throughout the facility with lots of cryptic messages and symbols.
Could you interpret any of those?
No, it's just a bunch of mumbo jumbo, not too much to decipher right now, but
I just saw Nazca lines. And I don't know if you saw those.
Oh, Nazca lines?
Nazca lines.
Nazca?
Yeah, they're like you see like the spider and like the monkey up at the top, like by that window.
Mm-hmm.
Those are like, those are pictographs that you can see from space. Like, in Nazca, like we don't really know how they made them, but it's theorized that they just like dried sticks, but they're like these huge pictographs. So I just thought it was interesting that they used the Nazca line drawings there. It's like, I wonder if there's pieces of Eden in Nazca.
Honestly, yeah. Interesting. Yeah. So, lots of weird stuff. And then the game just ends. It's done.
Yeah, you walk in there and it's like, what does this all mean? And then it's over.
Find out next time on Dragon Ball Z. Yeah, which is very, very ballsy of Ubisoft.
I mean,
to make a game, a brand new IP, and they're like,
cliffhanger.
Yeah, let's wrap this up. You know, here we go. Let's save it for the next one, folks. This one's going to be a hit. And they were 100% right. They were dead on the money.
I mean, they couldn't make that decision now because they would definitely fail. But
yeah,
they did a good job.
Yeah.
I'm not going to knock them because 2 is good. 2 is real good.
Do I maintain is the best in the series.
I just can't wait to fist fight people. Being able to just knock people out all the time is one of my favorite things.
Ezio's story is finished. Now, it's on to Ezio Auditore.
You just said Ezio's story's finished. Now it's time to head on to Ezio. You just said the same name twice.
Altair's story is finished.
There you go.
Is what I meant to say.
You did it right that time.
But that's going to be in a few weeks. So, before we get into what's next for Resync, just a general vibe with the game. After finishing it once more, I would give it an 8 out of 10. I think it's a great game. It has its issues. It has its flaws. It's not amazing. It's definitely feeling its age a little bit. But I think for 2007, I think for the time especially, the exploration in the game, the parkour system, the combat, all just tremendous for their time. And I think a lot of aspects of them really hold up. While obviously we've iterated and evolved from this formula, but this is really kind of the building blocks of that for a lot of games today, which I think is super sick. And I don't know, how do you feel,
Lucas? I also give it an 8 out of 10. I'm like right there with you. For the time it was released, I feel like it's honestly a masterpiece. Like, I have very little complaints except for like it got kind of repetitive at the end.
Yeah.
And even then, that's just like if you're trying to complete everything, I feel like.
No, repetition is really its number one flaw.
Yeah.
For me, I think the game could have just been a little bit tighter.
Yeah.
And then they could have potentially gotten away with it and really had a much better experience overall. They just would have shaved off an hour or two. But I think it was a very excellent game.
Yeah, and I thought the story was really well written, and like, especially for a video game, it was very well, like the dialogue wasn't super shit. Usually like in those old school
video games like that,
like it was really just shit dialogue. The voice actors are really bad.
Right, like, this is a really
well directed back when like developers used to do it. Yeah. Yeah.
No, for sure.
So they got Kristen Bell to do their freaking voice for Lucy.
Yeah, no, completely agree. But that's Assassin's Creed, guys. We did it. Season 1 in the books, guys. So
crazy.
It's been some time. We had some delays here and there, but we got through it. And thank you to everyone that's been on this journey. Special shout out to Jack and Matt, who have reached out about watching / listening to the show. Appreciate you both. And to everyone else who consumes our content.
Sorry. I love everyone else. I just don't like Matt.
Yeah. Yeah. Matt's all right. He's all right, I guess. But going forward, there's a lot to talk about. So, for the normies who just want to play along with the games, our next episode is going to be 3 weeks from now, because the next couple weeks we're going to have some bonus episodes that we are going to upload on the same usual platform, same as always, but they're not going to be dealing with any video games. We're going to be dealing with outside content that also pertains to the Assassin's Creed universe, or things that they just, other supplementary works. And so we had them made as bonus episodes because some people might not want to, because it might require additional investment or just not something that they're particularly interested in. They're only interested in the games. So that's why we're kind of just making them bonus things and having them separate. But next week, if you guys would like to read along or just learn about it, we are going over the graphic novel Assassin's Creed Desmond, which is the first in the Aquilus trilogy, which has this semi-canon, indubious canon, because the modern-day canon of this graphic novel has been declared not canon, because they made different references with certain subjects that then get talked about later on in the games, which is honestly kind of Ubisoft's fault, because they just kind of ignored this.
They were just dumb.
Yeah, so I kind of pin that on Ubisoft. So the modern-day stuff isn't necessarily canon, but this has some stuff with Altair, as well as a new assassin called... I just said his name. Aquilus. Oh, Aquilus. So, yeah, very exciting stuff. It's not very long. It's only like 50 pages. But we're going to talk about that next week, as this volume came out shortly before Assassin's Creed 2. And then the week after that, we're going to be talking about the Assassin's Creed Lineage short film, which was released right before Assassin's Creed 2 and serves as a prologue to the game, talking about Ezio's father and his family and their lineage of assassins. For people who have played Assassin's Creed 2, you will know all about that. And this kind of introduces that concept to players before they get into the game. So, we're going to be watching it. It's about 30 minutes. It's on YouTube, so you guys can just pull it up and watch it. But again, that'll be in 2 weeks. And then, we're jumping in to sequence one of Assassin's Creed 2, baby. This is my favorite game in the entire franchise. I don't think it gets better than this. I think Brotherhood and Black Flag are right up there, but it is absolutely my top pick. It is peak Assassin's Creed. It's what put the franchise on the map. The first game had people's ears open. They had people listening, paying attention to them. And then they came out and hit it out of the ballpark. And so I'm very excited to get into Assassin's Creed 2. Hopefully you guys are as well.
At some point, too, before we do play Assassin's Creed 2, I will have a setup guide that I know I've been promising for, like, I don't know, the beginning of this podcast.
Yeah.
But to play Assassin's Creed 1 on PC, I will have something, probably a video, that will be uploaded before then.
All right. We'll see about that. But, yeah. Potentially look forward to that as well. And so lots of cool stuff coming up, but appreciate everyone who came through again. This is a kind of a shorter episode. Before we go, I do want to real quick talk about your relationship with Assassin's Creed 2 before we get into the first game, because we can kind of talk about that a little bit here.
Like,
what's your history with it?
So, Assassin's Creed 2 is actually the first Assassin's Creed I beat ever. I didn't play the first one. Assassin's Creed 2 got me to play Assassin's Creed 1.
Mm.
And the first time I played it was at my uncle's house, and because he was showing me the franchise, because it was like one of his things. And apparently, that was the only time he ever played it, was when I played that. Like, I played it that few times, and I beat the game, and he never played it, because he just watched me play it through the whole game. But, yeah, I don't know. It's a fantastic game, and this one definitely holds a special place in my heart, because it's my first.
Yep.
It's my Assassin's Creed cherry.
Yeah, a lot of people were that way of playing Assassin's Creed 2 first, and honestly, I think that is what does the first game such a disservice, because... You know, when the first game came out, it was revolutionary. But then the second game is just better than it in every conceivable way. So it makes the first game look so much shittier by comparison.
Like, the stealth in this game is, like, leagues above.
Yeah. And they just added so much customization and depth to the game.
Costumes!
Yeah. A lot of cool stuff.
Swords!
So many great things to look forward to.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Yes, this game is truly phenomenal, and I cannot wait to experience it with you guys. But like I said, we've got some interesting stuff. Like I said, we've got the graphic novel. If you guys would like to follow along, it's a little hard to come by, so if you can't or don't want to, or if you just want to tune in next week and listen as we recap and talk about our thoughts of it, it's all up to you guys, but appreciate you. Lucas, you got any final thoughts before we dip out of here?
Thanks for following us along. I'm just excited to get into Assassin's Creed 2, honestly.
Yep. Lots of exciting things to look forward to. And don't forget this week's trivia question. What major stealth action adventure game released in between Assassin's Creed 1 and 2 that was also stuck on the PlayStation 3? But appreciate you all. Thank you for watching, listening, however you consume our content.
Yeah.
And we'll see you guys next time. more resync.
Toodles.